loving us the way you do, for reaching out to us, for helping us, for saving us, Lord, for washing away our sins in the precious blood of the Lamb. Lord, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I ask you this morning in Jesus' name, God, that you would move among us, that we will be attentive to what the Word has to say to us. Lord, that there will be no distractions to rob people of an opportunity to hear at a strategic moment what the Spirit may be wanting to say to them. I ask you, Heavenly Father, God, to move mightily in the altars at the close of this presentation of the gospel of Christ, so that souls who may be away from you may come to you, and you will freely and graciously receive, Lord, in love and forgive. God, we thank you now in Jesus' name for these things that we have asked, and it's in his name that they have been asked. And everyone said, amen. I want to begin this morning a little journey with you, Luke chapter 9, verse 62, to start our scriptures. Jesus said unto him, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." I don't have to tell you this in order for you to know. Life is messy. Just turn to somebody and say that. It's messy. We're all imperfect. All of us are imperfect. Turn to someone and say that. Don't give the details. Sometimes we get on each other's nerves. I'm not going to ask you to say anything about that. Let's just be honest about it. There are times we can't stand each other. Right? But we grit our teeth. We try to understand each other. We pray for grace. We put on a smile. And we keep on keeping on. Why do we do all of that? Let me tell you why I think we do that. It's because we have heard a distant call. We've heard the voice of God through the person of Jesus Christ saying, "Follow me." If I know my heart, I'm trying to follow Jesus. I don't always do it right, but I'm trying to follow him. Folks, he's the only one going anywhere. In case you haven't noticed, he's the only one going anywhere. I've received that call, and it's more than a call to be a preacher, more than a call to be anything else. He just said, "Follow me." That's what the call is. And because that call still resonates in my heart and in your heart, we continue on. We move on. We've heard his call. We thought it over. We've counted the cost. We have prayed it through. We've made the commitment. And we've never looked back. Never. I'm going through. Yes, I'm going through. I'll pay the price, whatever others do. Well, I'll take the way with the Lord's chosen few. I'm going through. Jesus, I'm going through. And I'm going to take somebody with me. I'm not going through by myself. I'm going to take some folks along with me if I can help it at all. I'm going through. Hallelujah. It was Bob Pierce, the founder of World Vision, that Christian international relief organization, who said, "Let my heart be broken by the things that break the heart of God." Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38. "Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." John chapter 15, verse 16, Jesus says, "You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Hallelujah. May I just say to you this morning that the plan of God, as it relates to a lost and dying world, is contained in three simple concepts. Jesus went up, the Holy Ghost came down, and the church goes out. That has never changed. That is the plan of God now. It was the plan of God that Jesus left the church. It has not changed. In Luke chapter 24, verse 46 through 49, the Bible says, "He said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank God we are a Pentecostal church. We are a church that believes that once you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you need to get hungry for the baptism of the Holy Ghost and not give up seeking and making yourself a candidate for the baptism until you have spoken in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives you the utterance. My friend Dwayne Jones told me the other day that it's not anything uncommon anymore in his travels to have a pastor to collar him just before he goes to the pulpit and to tell him something like this: "Don't use the word Pentecost from this pulpit." We have very influential people coming to our church. They don't know we're Pentecost. I'm afraid we would lose the financial base we have. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, let us lose the financial base, but let us never lose the dynamic of the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I don't know if there's anybody here today that's got a question in your mind about what that silly bunch out at Grand Assembly believes in, but one thing this pastor believes in is blowing some snot, wiping some tears, and getting all shook up about Jesus Christ until he fills our entire being with the power of his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when that happens, when God fills us with the Holy Ghost, he puts a "go ye" into our hearts. Go ye. And he said unto them, Mark 16, 15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Say they won't open up a pulpit. I tell you what, I know some people. In fact, there's a little lady right back there in that motorized wheelchair. There's probably been some pulpits wasn't open up to her. He blazed a trail across Arkansas and preached on street corners and storefronts. Hallelujah to God. My sister, my hat's off to you and your kind. You gave us what we have today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
go get
them. Hallelujah. Chapter 28, verse 8 to 20, Jesus unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's comforting. Because the one who saw power, He does not send us out without his power. Now, if we get out there and try to do it ourselves, we're in for some troublesome times. But we go in his name. Verse 19 said, go ye, therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. If you'd like to get an idea of the philosophy of Christ, read the Gospels. If you'd like to know whether or not that philosophy works, want to know how to implement that in this. If you know something about divine healing that it provides, read the book of James. If you want to know what God has in mind for this world, and read the book of Revelation. Our Lord is coming back to this earth again. He is reigning. He is the reigning. He left us with a job. I know that statistics can be as boring as. And sometimes you watch, but I'll tell you what, you've got pickled brains if you watch many of them. But these statistics I'm about to read should be anything but boring to people who have a passion for God. I want to just run something by you today. As of 2006, these are figures from 2006, almost 6.6 billion people live on this earth. About 1.2 billion people live on 23 cents a day. $2 billion of these people have no electricity. 80% of them live in substandard housing. Over 1 billion people have no safe drinking water. Every 16 seconds, somebody dies of hunger. 57 million people died in the year 2006. 10.5 million of those were children under the age of 5. 14 million were orphaned because of HIV/AIDS. It's not a pretty picture. It doesn't help anything that the Chinese government has loaned the United States over $300 billion to keep us from going under. The world is hurting today. We are on the brink of collapse. Everything is on the brink of collapse. It's not a pretty picture. But giving you those statistics from 2006, let me run this by you. In 2005, $8 billion was spent on cosmetics in America. $8 billion. $11 billion was spent on ice cream in the continent of Europe. $17 billion was spent on pet food in the United States and Europe. And $105 billion was spent on alcohol in Europe. These are disgusting figures. This world is lost. Humanity has lost its way. Have we done enough? Have we given as much as we can? I want to give you some more statistics. In the calendar year 2006, there are 2.8 million Assemblies of God adherents in the United States, and those 2.8 million people gave $221 million to world missions. Now, that's a large figure. It sounds very large. But break it down. This means the Assemblies of God gave $6.58 per person per year, or about 2 cents per day per adherent. Doesn't sound so fantastic, does it, when you put it that way? So the next time somebody comes to you and says, well, let me put in my 2 cents worth, and begins a 5-minute harangue on what this church really needs is, just think of 2 little pennies, 2 cents. That's what the average Joe and Josephine in our Pentecostal movement gave to missions in 2006. Was it enough? No, but you know that's not really the question. The question is, was it our best? Did we do our best? That's the question. May I say to you today, God will use whoever will make themselves available to the Holy Spirit. God will use whoever. In Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, the Bible said, God said, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it. But I found none. I thought as our kids were up here presenting this powerful message in human video form, thought about a little girl named Becky. God can use anybody that will step out in faith. Doug and Beth's daughter, Becky, 13 years old at the time this happened. Becky didn't have a job, didn't get an allowance, but it was Mission Sunday in her church, and the pastor talked about a faith promise. And something got a hold of Becky's heart that day and touched her. And she filled out a pledge card. She pledged $5 a month for a year. Now, Becky's folks were living hand to mouth. Becky didn't even see $5 a month. But there's something about a faith promise. It's something called faith. Now, Becky's family lived in a little community near the Pacific Ocean in Southern Cal, and the next Tuesday, Becky walked down to the beach with some of her friends. She was just walking along the beach. She didn't go there to get in the water, hadn't planned on getting wet. But she looked up and she saw something in the surf, a piece of paper or something. She felt an inner prompting to walk into the water and get it, but she told herself, I'm not getting wet. I didn't come out of her dress to get in the water. I'm not going to do it. And again, she felt prompted to go and pick it up. Once more, she said, I'm not going in. Well, the third time she felt that prompting, she finally waded into the shallow water and picked up the piece of paper. You know what it was. It was a $5 bill. Hallelujah. Her first month's pledge. You know what? God has a way of doing things with the sea. He used one of the biggest creatures in the sea, a whale, to hand deliver, or should I say, belch deliver, a backslidden preacher that had received command from God to go and preach to Nineveh, and he didn't want to do it. He said, I'll get me a ship and go to Tarshish. And let me tell you about Tarshish. For anybody to go to Tarshish was the end of the world. That's as far as you could go. That's as far as they knew anything about then. He said, I'll go to the end of the world to keep from having to go to Nineveh. So God used the ocean and the whale, and he vomited him up on the beach. And it's amazing. And it was first part of April one year. IRS breathing down everybody's neck. Jesus and Peter sat down, and Peter got to asking about tax time. Jesus and Peter had a pretty good little conversation about the income tax being due April 15th. Jesus said, Peter, I tell you what you do. You go down to the ocean and cast in a hook. and pull up a fish. Man, I wish God would talk to us that way nowadays. I've been to lots of oceans, never pulled anything out, much less something with money in his mouth. So you go down there and the first thing you pull out of there, open its mouth, and there will be enough in there for my taxes and yours. We won't obey the law. Well, God did Becky that way, just about it. He brought faith promise money in on a wave. I'm just telling you today, God never has run out of ways to meet people when they exercise faith. Never has. Now, the following Sunday, she told her pastor about this, and he chuckled and reminded her of this story I just shared with you about Peter and the tax payment. Well, Becky's story didn't end there. The pastor shared it with others in the fellowship about how God had met her first month's pledge, and then word got around the fellowship that Becky could do babysitting, and they thought anybody that's faithful enough that would be able to give a pledge commitment for $5 a month, it's got to be a pretty good little girl. So calls started coming in for her to babysit, and she made every one of those pledges because God honors faith. Hallelujah. Now let me tell you something else. God will use whoever he can find to use, who is willing to be used. But God will use whatever circumstance he has to use to work his plan too. God's not out of ways and means. He is not out of a plan for his church. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 27 through 29, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised as God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. I'm thankful for Pentecost. I'm thankful for the innovative ways the Holy Ghost can do so much with so little. God is awesome. Absolutely awesome. Let me tell you a story from time when a church was receiving a missions offering. The pastor looked up from his time of meditating and his time of just introspection. He looked up and stared at amazement at a pair of cowboy boots that had come through the congregation, and the ushers in that church would bring the offering forward and lifted up like so many church traditions do now, and bless the Lord for the offering. Well, the pastor looks up, and there is a pair of cowboy boots on the offering plate. They belonged, or at least had belonged, to a rough and tumble young man who had only recently found Christ. I love new Christians. They're not smart enough to be tight yet. They're so happy with Jesus, to happen to be done with sin, that they'll do pretty near anything if Jesus is lacking it. Well, this guy walked barefooted to the front of the auditorium and placed his boots in the offering plate. The awkward silence that followed was broken by the sound of a man's voice somewhere in the congregation that had seen the whole thing. The pastor was trying to recover from shock at seeing cowboy boots in the offering plate. And a voice came from the auditorium somewhere, and somebody said, "Pastor, I'll give $500 for that pair of boots." Woo, that's a high dollar figure for a pair of smelly cowboy boots, let me tell you. He walked to the altar and placed $500 in the offering plate, took the boots back to the young man, said, "Young man, you just gave $500 to mission. That's not all." The young man had given himself to the Lord. So when you give yourself to the Lord, really give yourself to the Lord, don't you just really give yourself and what you are and what you have to the Lord? The story doesn't end there. Tears were flowing by this time for many in the congregation. Somebody piped up and said, "That pair of boots is worth more than any $500. I'll give $1,000 for that pair of boots." And the Spirit caught on. And all across that auditorium, people were doing it Pentecostal style. "I'll give $5,000. I tell you, several thousand dollars were raised for missions because an old cowboy that had just found Jesus wanted to give something to the Lord Jesus Christ, something that had cost him something. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God for missions and for missionaries. Amen. As a pastor in a Marxist nation wrote anonymously of his imprisonment for the fifth time for preaching the gospel, he remembers going through five security gates, hearing steel gates sound off as they slam behind him, living with other prisoners, 26 other prisoners in an 18 by 24 room with cement walls a foot and a half thick. He tells of being questioned 6 days a week from 7 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. for 7 long months. They failed to break him down, so they decided to move him on out. They moved him to the nation's largest prison with 10,000 of the most brutal killers, robbers, rapists, drug kingpins, pimps, and extortionists. Each cell was ruled by what they call a boss. He was given a small ration of water each day, the largest portion of which was taken away by the boss and his friends. Through a series of events, he eventually led the boss to the Lord, as well as a large number of other prisoners. Changes immediately took place in that prison. Swearing stopped. Water was no longer hoarded. And when these new believers learned about tithing, they decided to tithe their water. Woo! This pastor soon had water to share with the sick and suffering in the prison. The communists moved him to yet another prison and sentenced him to 9 years, but God revealed to him he would be released much sooner. During his short stay before being set free, this pastor won a young prisoner to the Lord, and soon the young man was attending a Bible school conducted by the pastor. The pastor told the young man he must win souls if he wanted to please God, and he took him at his word. They gave the boy some tracts, prayed with him, sent him to his people who lived in a remote area along the border, very isolated, difficult to reach but travel. They told him to call them when he had won 5 souls, and they'd send a pastor out there to baptize the converts. A month later, he called. "Will you send a pastor to baptize our people?" he asked. "Have you won 5 souls? They asked. "No, no, no," the man began. "How can you ask a pastor to come out there to your village without at least 5 converts to baptize? Do you know how expensive it is to get someone to go out in an area like that?" The young man replied, "Pastor, I have won 5 villages with about 753 souls. We've got a big church. We need some people to be baptized. Can you come and baptize these people?" Hallelujah! Somebody shout amen! Hallelujah to the Lamb. Oh God, thank the Lord, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I don't know what the future holds, neither do you, but I can promise you this. Jesus said, if you'll go out and preach my word, I'll be with you, and there will be signs following them that believe. Hallelujah. And I tell you, I've been pastoring a long, long time. I've been in this thing for 45 years, pastoring, preaching revivals, a little longer than that, actually. My Lord, I'm telling you, I can't believe I'm getting the age I am. I preached my first message 50 years ago. Most of my ministry has been evangelizing and pastoring. I've never seen anything like what I'm seeing now. Rarely does a week go by that I receive a call from somebody that sounds like a kid. Ought to be in somebody's youth group. And they tell me, I feel called to the mission field. I've had some of our kids stop me as they were leaving the building. Say to me, Pastor, I don't know what God wants me to do. But I've got a call on my life. I just know I've got a call on my life. And I say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody said, well, you know what? We need to be thinking about our building payment. You ought to try to pastor this thing. You'll think about it all right. Somebody talking to me about the electric bill this morning. Thank God that thing yet hasn't gone up like, you know, we anticipated it, but we socked the insulation to it pretty good, didn't we? Earl, you guys around here, Ron. What I'm saying is, if we will love God's world, God will love our church. If we will have God's world in our hearts, God will have our church in His heart. And I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. This is probably nuttier than a fruitcake. I've tried several times to get away from this. And every time it comes back around. We're fixing to have our annual district missions night, the camp meeting. It's every year. What they do in that mission service is to take up a love offering. They call it cash for candidates. It is amazing how much money it costs to get back to the field. I tell you, God's people, through the power of the Holy Spirit and the leading of God's word, will be responsive. And I want to be able to represent Grand Assembly of God with a good love offering for cash for candidates. What I'm asking you to do this morning, I'm not going to set a dollar amount, because a dollar amount would be different from person to person. I'm not asking that. But will you let God speak to your heart? Will you let God speak to your heart, and will you obey Him? And will you give something that is significant to you? Will you do that? Ellen, you've got our checkbook. You know what would be a significant amount for us to give, and I trust you, hon. With my life, I trust you. Certainly with my checkbook. Write a check out. Whatever God tells you to give, write it out for that. I'd like to see people all over this room begin reaching for your wallets, your checkbooks, And I once again want to emphasize, I'm not saying dollar amounts. I'm saying what God speaks to your heart. What would be meaningful to you? What would in your heart say to God, Lord, I love you. I really do, Lord, and I'm concerned about your lost world. I'm concerned about your lost world. Cheryl, could you come back to the piano, please? Danny, get up on the platform and prepare to sing something appropriate. Slow, something slow, something worshipful, something God will lay on your heart. Lord, here's what I feel like the Lord spoke to my heart, really. Besides all this other I've told you about, I believe that there are going to be people today that listen to God's voice and obey His voice. And as you give, some of you are going to be healed. I actually believe there are going to be people today that have been under conviction God's been dealing with you to get saved and give your heart to God. And today, the very first thing you're going to do as a newborn believer in Christ, you're going to give Him a love offering. Don't have to be your boots, but it'll be meaningful to you. It'll be significant and it'll be meaningful. Lord, I've done my best. I've done my best this morning, Lord, to be obedient to you. And I pray in Jesus' name, God, that you will touch this congregation. Touch hearts today. And Lord, we bring our offering to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
This is my desire.
Closer than you felt Him in a long, long time, because you've been obedient. You've been obedient. Amen. Amen. I'm going to lay my Bible and that Bible on the altar. Come give to the Lord today.
Lord, I give my heart.
Come.
Give you my soul.
You prepared your offering. Come and give it to the Lord.
Live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, have your way in me.
This is my desire.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart.
Lord, with all my heart,
I worship you.
I worship you.
Go get it.
Couple of offering bags out of there and get ready to put that up.
Right? Oh.
about them. Brother, going to come, Ron, and you and Brother Tom, if you guys can come and take the offering. He's getting some offering bags there. There's one right there, Ron, if you could get that started on this. Tom will come back with an offering bag and get that signed in a moment. Just get me in here a little bit. Just go ahead and get that. What I want to do. Again, it's not dollar amount. I'm not talking dollar amount, but you've obeyed the Lord this morning. You've done what God asked you to do, and you've got a need in your life that's really been crowding you. I want you to stand. I want you to do that right now because I'm going to pray for you. Amen. Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to close your eyes and I want you to believe God. Believe Him. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Holy Ghost, they are yours. You've spoken to them. They've obeyed you. Lord, and for some, it was no doubt a sacrifice as far as common sense is concerned. But they obeyed you anyway. And I ask you in Jesus' name that you will unleash your divine power in their lives. Some are standing because they've got need of healing in their bodies. Some are standing, Lord, because they've got relationship problems that have gone sour. Some, Lord, are facing decisions, life-changing decisions, and they don't know what to do. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll show up and you, dear God, will move mightily in their lives. Whatever the area of need is that they have stood for. God, in Christ's name, this congregation agrees in prayer that the Holy Ghost would move mightily. And Lord, that we will hear testimonies from this service today. My God, may we be able to trace it back to this act of obedience today in this presence of God. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Everyone standing, please, as we dismiss. Let's sing it. Holy Spirit, rain. In this meeting this morning, I thank you, God, that because of the obedience of your people, many, many hundreds and thousands of souls are going to be born into the
kingdom of God. We're believing you for it. We're thank you in advance for it, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love your world.